Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
I want to share with you in the next 25 minutes on a subject very dear and very significant in this season: wielding the powers of the age to come. God bless you. Peace be still in the name of Jesus. Don't stress yourself. Allow them. When they are done, they can find their way. Some of them, there's so much weight on them right now. We are at a junction where the faith of people and the faith of territories, the faith of nations are being decided. The season we found ourselves in now is one that understands one language and one language only. It's the language of power. And so the time has come for the church to arise in her full regalia of power and authority. The power that is committed to the church is such that has never been seen before. The church's problem is not a lack of power, it's an inability to access those powers. I shared before, and I said the greatest power in the universe is not in heaven. The greatest power in the universe is in the church of Jesus Christ. Men and even members of the body have not realized this. The reason it looks as if there is so much power in the heavens is because the angels tap completely into the frequency of power. They know how to wield every iota of power that is in their reach. The church has not tapped into one tenth of the power that is within her reach. When the world was created, there were three orders of power that was available to the civilization of creation, both in the natural and in the invisible realm. The first realm of power that God instituted is the angelic power. The angelic power is the first order of power that the world had seen. And the reason is because the first governors of the realm were not mortals. The first governors of the realm were spirit entities, because men had not yet been created. When Lucifer fell, the Bible said, "Thou that weakens the nations," because the angelic functionaries were the custodians and the rulers of the first earth. So the power and the authority God gave them the right to rule and to coordinate the affairs of the visible realm, until there was war in the heavens and another kind of power was activated. There was a power that was not available to the angelic. It's the power of lordship. Angels are ambassadors. They are high commissioners. In their respective rights, they have thrones and ranking. In fact, they are called curios. That means thrones. So there is a level of authority angels walked in. But when there was war in heaven, and angels were to fight angel, an archangel confronted another archangel. There is no way he can defeat him. Because in the angelic realm, all of them have harnessed all the power that is at their disposal. And so when an archangel needed to confront another archangel, he needed another power that was not available. And the power that archangel summoned was the power of lordship. And so the angel came and said, "The Lord rebuke you." The moment he said, "The Lord rebuke you," all the power at the angelic order shut down. Because that was a superior power. The power of lordship was not available to the angelic realm. And that power was within God. The time that power was released was when man was created. And so God wanted the man to grow in stature and be given the right to wield that power. But unfortunately, when Lucifer saw that this kind of power, remember what happened between Lucifer and Angel Michael was before the creation of man. And so Lucifer knew that there was a power of lordship that was available, and anyone given that power will rule over the angelic realm. And so when Adam was created, that was the power God wanted to give Adam. But Adam needed to pass process. There were tests that he needed to pass. And when he was about to pass the final test, because when God created him, he tried him. The test God gave Adam was not the test he gave angels. The test of angels was different from this test, because they were contending for different authorities. If I had time, I would have shown you the test of angels. But when God created Adam, the test God gave Adam was the test of God. That's why when God created animals, he didn't name them. Go and name them. If you are able to find the name God would have named them, then you have passed the test of the immortals. And when Adam was walking with God, every test God gave him, he passed. Until the test of obedience. And he said, "Of all the trees that are in the garden, you may freely eat. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, don't eat it. The day you eat it, you will fall. The day you eat it, you will fall from glory." Glory is kaboid, is the realm of God. But Adam failed the test. And the reason Adam failed was because an angel that had experienced the efficacy of that power came to deceive him. Because he knew that when Adam eats of the tree of life, the authority of lordship would have been conferred upon him. And if he has that authority, he will be a ruler over the angels. And so Adam fell. Because Adam fell, nobody could walk in that order. The angelic authority became the highest authority in the visible realm, apart from sovereign authority. Because there is the angelic authority, there is the lordship authority, and there is the sovereign authority that is only within the confines of the Godhead. The lordship authority was what God wanted to give man, but he failed the test until Jesus came. And when Jesus came, he was routed through the college of process. When he carried out that process and passed, in Philippians chapter 2, from verse 5 to verse 9, the Bible said that God, even though he was equal to God, he counted it not robbery to be equal with God. He emptied himself of divinity and he obeyed God even unto death, and the death of a criminal. He said, therefore, God gave him a name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus is the Lord. The same authority that Michael invoked when he challenged Lucifer was the authority that was conferred to Jesus. Remember, Jesus doesn't need authority because Jesus is God. He's part of the Godhead. The authority Jesus was receiving was not for himself. The authority Jesus was receiving was for the body of Christ. That was why when he resurrected, he said, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now, take that power and go in that power." So the power in the heavenlies is the angelic power. The power in the church is the lordship power. Angel is the heavens, is where the throne of God is, but the church is the body of God. Where you live and your body, which is more important? Is your house more important than you? Is there more authority in your house than in yourself? We are not where the throne of God dwells. We are God hid in dust. And so the authority that is in the church is the lordship authority. That's why the moment Jesus resurrected, begging stopped. He said, in my name, cast out devils. In my name, cast out devils. He said that angels are heirs to them who are the angels are ministering spirits to them who are the heirs of salvation. So the moment we stepped into lordship, angels became our ministers, the same way they are ministers of God. It's an authority that the body has not tapped into. An authority superior to the angelic authority. If we knew to tenth of the authority we have, we will bring this world under the government of God. We don't know what we have. We are talking, but we don't know what we have. The problem is that it takes a lot to summon that authority. It's not casual. It's an authority that kingdom resonates on, and so it's not for children. The only authority that is superior to the authority of the church is the sovereign authority of God. That's why when David went to heaven and he heard the debate in the spirit realm, he said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? You made him a little lower than Elohim. It's only the authority of Elohim that is superior to the authority of the church. If you hear me tonight, you will become a wonder to your world. You are not disadvantaged. You are the spectacle of the new universe. We carry heaven. We carry the fullness of God. We carry the purposes of God. We carry the government of God. Everything God wants to do, He committed it to us, because there is an insurance. There is an authority that we command, if only we will find it. Wielding the powers of the ages to come. That's why Paul called it the power of the ages to come. Because that power is beyond earth. Earth is too small for that power. If we knew this power, earth would be a walkover. That's why Jesus said the coming of his second coming and the end of this world is not at the mercy of God. He says it's at the mercy of the church. He said this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached as a witness in all the world. Then the end will come. So if we know how to mobilize the authority we have, we can determine the end of this earth. How do you mobilize the powers of the ages to come? Three things. Number one, please sit down and write. The first way to mobilize the powers of the ages to come is through the mystery of service. The weakness of the church is not the devil. The weakness of the church is the flesh. The reason God instituted service is so that flesh can be decimated. Because for a man to walk in authority, two things will compete for attention. The first thing that will compete for attention is the promptings of the flesh. And the moment you yield to the promptings of the flesh, you become a servant of another spirit. The second thing that finds expression in service is glory to God. And so service is the point where the divide is established, either to celebrate flesh or to celebrate God. And so service is not about a man. Service is actually an operation of the spirit that works deep into your flesh, chiseling it until all that is left in you is for God. Service is a strategy of God to decimate every aspect of flesh that you are not able to conquer. There are kinds of power you mobilize when you have revelation. When you study the doctrine of power, there are many names for power. You find dunamis, you find iskus, you find kratos, you find megatos. There are so many names for power. But for you to walk in the fullness of the exousia, you must learn it through service. Many times, you will not know that anger dwells in your bosom. And because of that anger that is in your bosom, you may have all the revelation to mobilize dunamis. You may fast all your way into dunamis. You may have all the wisdom to mobilize kratos. But the authority of the ages to come cannot be released. Because if that authority is given to you, you will kill men. And so God will find every means possible to rout into your soul until that anger is removed. And many times the only way God can do it is to throw you into a system. And so while you are serving, they offend you and you want to react. And the Holy Ghost say, don't. We call it the sufferings of the flesh. In 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 1, Peter said, he that have suffered in the flesh have ceased from sinning. And the way you suffer in the flesh is the chastening of the spirit. And that kind of chastening, you don't find it when you are reading a book. You are reading a book, even your flesh will make you find the things that appeal to you. And so you find strategies for wealth. You find strategies for laying hands on people and they fall down. You find strategies for healing the sick. And the moment you get those revelations, the next thing you want to go out and manifest. The only strategy of the spirit that deals with your flesh is activated through service. That's why for a man to wield genuine authority, he must pass through different layers of service. Because there are many tendencies that will be cut off. Many times, you are full of ego. You know that you have a natural aptitude. You are better than many people. From primary school, you came first until you graduated. Secondary school, you came first until you graduated. University, you made a first class. And so when you come into the League of Immortals, you think that the certificate they consider is physics and biology. When they look upon you, they will ask you, do you know the secret upon which creation rests? Do you know the codes that keep the ocean at their boundary? Do you understand how lightning and thunder is summoned? Where were you when the borders of the nations were carved? They will ask you, where does the morning appear from? Do you know where light dwells? Where is the habitation of darkness? You will hear things that you cannot find in philosophy. You will hear things that you cannot find in chemistry and biology. It is in the corridor where spirits that transcend time utter their oracles that you will find out that mental knowledge is not power. And so service will force you to submit to a government that is superior to your natural propensities. Service will force you to submit to a government that is superior to your skill and your aptitude. Because when the immortals are done dealing with you, you will forget that you are a gifted man. If you still remember that you have a gift, you didn't go through process. If you still remember that you are special, you didn't go through process. God will insist that you serve again. Because it is in service that authority is granted. Did you not read the scriptures? Joshua showed up in Joshua chapter 10 from verse 12. He said, let the sun stand upon the mountains of Ajalon. Let the moon remain upon the valley of Gibeon. And he said, the sun did not make haste to go down. And they said something. He said, that day has never been. And he said, that day will never come. Because that kind of power is the power of the ages to come. It's not for mortals. It's for people that have entered the economy of the immortals, that know how to move the hand of God. He said, in the day that God hearkened to the voice of a man. Because that is a league of gods. Laws are talking to system. And so one Lord will give way for the will of another Lord to be carried out. It's a realm beyond time. It will take service to enter it. Because Joshua did not read it in the Torah. The Bible said Joshua, the servant of Moses. That was the definition of Joshua. He entered into that power through service. Because the point came, Joshua forgot his identity. All he could see was a servant of God. If men don't serve, they can never move power. Powers that foundations rest on. And when you want to serve, there are three layers of service. The first layer of service is service to a man. And God will force you to serve a man to humble you. Because many times, the people you serve, you are better than them. Many times, the people you serve, you are stronger than them. And God will keep quiet. You will go out and manifest all your power. It will tell you that the economy that makes for promotion is not skill. And so service to man is not about deification. I know that in Africa today, we have weaponized fatherhood and eldership. And it has become witchcraft and manipulation. But even though it has been corrupt, God will insist on that pathway. Because until you serve a man, you will not know what it means to be restrained. And they say, him that striveth for the mastery, he is temperate in all things. If you don't serve a man, you cannot have power. That's why I said Joshua was the servant of Moses. You see, Elisha, 2 Kings chapter 3 verse 11. Elisha, the man that poured water in the hands of Elijah. How come you are identifying a prophet that can shut down a nation? And all you can see about him is that he served another man. Because it's in the college of service that flesh is decimated. Ha ha ha. I'm telling you, a generation is about to rise. But there is a credential that spirits will look at. When you show up, they will ask you, who did you serve? Because the power we carry, we can't commit it to you. We don't know if you can tame the flesh. We don't know how temperate you are. And so, what only masters handle, we can't commit it to you. Because until you become temperate in all things, you can't strive for mastery. You can't strive. When they offended you, what did you do? When they lied against you, what did you do? Did you tilt your flesh? You need to go back and ask Paul in the spirit to tell you what he saw that made him say, we are the circumcision that worship God in the spirit, rejoicing in Christ Jesus, having no confidence in the flesh. There is a place called no confidence in the flesh. You will arrive at that place when you have served men. Because when you serve men, you will see their strength and their weaknesses. When you see men on the altar, they appear like cherubims. When you meet them at home, you will discover that there is still humanity in them. And God will make you to tolerate that humanity. Because you don't only learn from men's ability, you learn from men's weaknesses. And until you have mastered how to learn from the weaknesses of men, yourself have never graduated. You will never graduate. You must serve men to handle the powers of the ages to come. When you are done serving men, you will serve systems. When you serve men, you deal with their tendencies. When you serve systems, you will learn how to come under government. There are three things that defines a man who has defeated flesh. The first is meekness. The second is humility. The third is brokenness. Meekness is the ability to stay under authority. Humility is the ability to exalt others above yourself. Brokenness is the ability to deny yourself and allow others reign. It's called self-denial. All of that you will learn only when you are in the system. Have you not seen the choir before? They come for practice. And when it comes to practice, only three people practice. But when it comes to a conference, there are 30 of them. And sometimes the people who are consistent in practice, they never minister. And then you are offended. You use your last card to buy a new dress, but you never stood on the altar. And you are angry. And God asks you, are you serving yourself or you are serving me? It's called the school of process. You may know all the doctrine, but you will not see the powers of the ages to come until you have perfected serving men and you have also perfected serving system, because you will see all the garbage of humanity. And when you are able to tolerate it, then you can handle the law of Christ. That's why I said, bear one another's body, therefore fulfilling the law of Christ. There is a power. And remember, the law of Christ is the key of David. That opens a door and no one closes, and closes a door that no one opens. But the way you enter that order is to be tolerant, is to be long-suffering, is to be able to bear with one another. And the only circumference by which such opportunity is granted you is when you serve in a system. There are many people that say they are satisfied in themselves. They will never grow far. They will never go far. You can sit in your house and read the whole Bible. Your maturity level will be very low, because you don't know how deep and how treacherous flesh is until you come and mingle with one another. That's why he said, despise not the assembly of them that dwells together. Despise it not, as is the manner of some. Even if they are in the flesh, come there. You are not serving God. You are serving God through a system. And everything that happens to you while you are there, you will bear it. That's why he said, it's good for a man to bear his yoke while he's young. Because the day of your manifestation is coming. And there's a power you want to touch. You need to learn temperance. You need to learn forbearance. You need to learn patience. You need to learn kindness. Please sit down. You need to learn a lot of virtues that it will take a thousand years to find true revelation. And so God will use the weaknesses of others to trace those weaknesses in you, so that as you align, he will excavate it from your soul. The third service you must render is service unto God. In Joshua chapter 1 verse 1, he said, Moses, the servant of God. In Romans chapter 1 verse 1, he said, Paul, the servant of Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 3 verse 1, he said, Paul, the prisoner of Christ. This man served God until a point came they didn't have an opinion anymore. When you find men that have power, they don't have opinions. Today you find people shouting, they don't know what power is. Everything that happens, they jump up and say, me, this is what I think. You don't have the right to think. Me, this is my choice. You don't have a choice. You will always find God's choice and align with it. A servant of God is not a preacher.
A servant of God is one who chooses God's choice continually. He doesn't have an opinion. When they are debating on national issues, you will never hear his opinion. Every time he speaks, he will tell you, this is what God says. This is what God says. He has mastered it so much. You find people today, they come and say bogus things. So long as you still have an opinion, you are a master of your own. A man who is truly a servant of God has no opinion. He's become dead. He's dead. He's dead to himself. When you find a man who has perfected service, the immortals can give him the scepter. And they will say, go. We are confident. We are confident. When you check scriptures, it's replete. Today, people come out of Bible school and they say they want to take nations. Do you know the princes that rule over nations? Do you know the gatekeepers over territories? That you make men excited and they fall down does not mean you can. A man who truly can take nations, when he shows up, you will see his impact in the spirit. You will see his impact in the government. You will see his impact in the economy. You will see his impact in the media. You will see his impact in the academia. He defeats mountains. He's not interested in pleasing men. He didn't come to make you feel happy. He is fighting spirits. When Jesus showed up, he said, the prince of this world cometh to me and findeth nothing. He said, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. I saw him. That's where I war from. And Paul said, having done all to stand, stand therefore, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not for every believer. It's for those who know how to wield the powers of the ages to come. And I can assure you, in the body of Christ, only few have gone there. If the quorum is complete, we can change government. We can alter the economic system. We can shut down civilization. But men who have the powers of the ages to come have not come because they've not served anybody. Everybody is a master of himself. Everybody is looking out for his own. Everybody is interested in his own appetites. And today, you tell people to serve. They are not serving. They are creating a way for themselves. That's why the guy is singing a song. He's interested in the clip so that he will cut it and put online. That's all he's interested in. It's all a show. When those who serve with a pure heart, when they show up, they prove that they have served. It's not popularity. It's the authority that they command. Even the nations will seek them. You will know that these ones are in high demand because they have something to offer. And such men must rise again. How long are you willing to serve? And while you are yet serving, what is your heart posture? You rebuke some people, they get offended. Because they feel that as they are here, they are doing you a favor. They don't know that every time they serve, it's an opportunity for them to add credit and rank in the spirit. You think men appear, you joke. Every man you see making impact, his impact is commensurate to the weight of his service. And that's why when God lifts a man, there's nothing you can do to bring him down. Because the lifting is not overnight. God saw him go through records. They are track records. There were times when he was awake, not because of himself, because of another person. There were times when he risked his life, not because of himself, because of another person. All of those are records in the spirit. You think your casual propaganda can make God forget the moments of sorrow, the moments of pain, the moment where he risked his life for God and for the kingdom? You are joking. You have not understood the kingdom. The powers that keep them standing, it's not just there to keep them standing. It's a power that will save a civilization. Men of true power must rise. And the way to rise is to serve. There are too many people who have not served. They come out with revelation and mysteries. You will say it for a long time. At best, you will have few followers, but your generation will not look for you. Because there's a difference between popularity and influence. There's a difference between fame and greatness. There's a difference between haste and speed. One is born out of service. Another is born out of human technocracy. You want to wield authority, you must serve. You must serve men. You must serve systems. And you must serve God. These are eternal patterns. Nothing will alter them. We need authority in the last days. But there are too many shallow men shouting. The undoing of the body of Christ and the generation we find ourselves in are not politicians. It's the church. Infants are talking like adults. And the spirits know their rank in the spirit. And so no matter how they shout, they know they have no power to change things. The second way to wield the powers of the ages to come. I need to check my time. We are out of time. Apostle Wefa, hope you preach before I came. Because I need enough quote, I need enough word in the atmosphere to be able to make some decrees. Hope you, your minister. Praise God. So even if I can't complete it, the Spirit has spoken. The second way to wield the powers of the ages to come is through brokenness. Listen, I'm saying this so you will learn something. Our generation is deceived to think they can use revelation to get anything they are looking for. Our generation is deceived to think they can use prayer and then you come. A lawless man, a proud man, comes and prays in tongues because his suit is wet. He now says they will change the territory. A wet suit is not authority. It just shows that you have enough adrenaline. I preach on prayer. I preach on the ministry of the word. But I bring you eternal realities. If your prayer and your study of the word does not provoke brokenness, you are joking. The men that shook the world, find them. They are meek and broken men. I took time to study Billy Graham. And I saw that this man had no notable miracles. He had no bogus words. In fact, when Billy Graham is speaking, all you can sense is a man who loves God. And with that simplistic message, he packed stadia for decades. When he left this world, he was celebrated as a God that walked among men. When you find the real men of authority, they are broken and they are simple. When men become too sophisticated, it's a sign that something is being covered. The things that authority is not available to make for, they use strategy and manipulation to cover for it. The real men of authority are broken men. And you can find it again and again in scriptures. In Numbers chapter 12 verse 3, the Bible spoke concerning Moses. He said, he's the meekest of all men that lived. This is a man that came with a staff and destroyed Egypt. I'm telling you why we have all the revelation, yet we have no authority. I'm showing you why we have all the prayer power, all the prayer campaigns, and we have no authority. Because we are high-minded people. We are high-minded people. We are an arrogant generation. We are full of ourselves. I quoted for you from Philippians 3 verse 3. It says, I have no confidence in the flesh. Paul was not a man of revelation alone. Paul was a broken man. Moses was a broken man. When you meet this man, you will meet so much of their humanity that you will wonder, are these the men God is using? The reason is because the power they control is beyond their reach. It comes from another realm. But when God looks upon their brokenness, he mobilizes himself. In 2 Chronicles chapter 16 verse 9, he said, the eyes of the Lord moves to and fro the earth, looking for the weak and perfect in heart, that he will show forth his strength. Have you not read the books of the fathers of old? Most of them didn't have half the revelations we had. But when they speak, rain stop. When they speak, bandits go back. When they speak, governments are altered. We show up with all of the bogusness and it shows the strength of our humanity. That's why we cannot change anything. In addition to your prayer, in addition to your revelation, in addition to your competence, I beg you in the name of God, if you want to see through authority, put away high-mindedness. There are most of us here, even to say I'm sorry, we will go to the grave and come back before we say it. and then we'll quote 30 scriptures and think we handle power with so much pride. He said, God resists the proud, but he giveth more grace to the humble. He resists the proud. When you study David, there are 7 anointings that makes the Davidic order. Only one man hosting 7 anointings. Any man who operates in the Davidic order must operate in those 7 anointings. The first anointing of the Davidic order is the anointing of a poet. The second anointing of the Davidic order is the anointing of a shepherd. The third anointing of the Davidic order is the anointing of a psalmist. The fourth anointing of the Davidic order is the anointing of a prophet. The fifth anointing of the Davidic order is the anointing of a king. The sixth anointing of the Davidic order is the anointing of a warrior. And the last anointing of the Davidic order is the anointing of a father. 7 anointings, one man carrying it. But a prophet shows up and said, you have sinned against God. Openly he tore his garment, poured ashes on his head, and fell on the ground. He wasn't careful who was looking. Rebuke your leaders here and see what the attention will go to. They are not moved by the correction. They are careful who is seeing how you are rebuking them. They are not angry that you rebuke them, but they are angry how you rebuke them. You would have rebuked them respectfully. You would have done it in the private because of arrogance. A king, a warrior, a prophet, a poet, a psalmist was rebuked openly. He fell down. He said, I've sinned against you, God. Have mercy on me. And he knew the secret. In Psalm 51 verse 17, he said, a contrite heart and a broken spirit thou shalt not despise. He knew the secret of power. That was why David, as one man, fought 44 battles. He never lost. He doesn't know what it means to lose, because there are too many graces. But the way you handle the Davidic mantle is not by revelation. The way you handle the Davidic mantle is not by prayer. The way you handle the Davidic mantle is by brokenness. Because God resists the proud, but he giveth more grace to the humble. If we want to see men that can change government, one signature they must carry is brokenness. Forget all this pride of prayer. Forget all this pride of revelation. We will say it and change nothing. We will prophesy it, nothing will happen. Because the people on the other side of the divide, they know the ordinances. They know what to do to host the spirit that powers them. Only in the church do we negate what is required. When you humble yourself, it takes nothing from you. It rather elevates you. The devil will come deceive you and make you feel you are being embarrassed. How can you be embarrassed if you are a servant of God? You are a servant of another being. You don't represent yourself. You can't embarrass me. I don't represent myself. I represent another spirit. Because when the glory comes, I don't take it. How can I take the shame? A generation being deceived, and we deceive ourselves. Men will come and say bogus things. When you look around them, nothing is happening. But we love sweet words. The Bible said in the last day, men will heap themselves teachers that say sweet things to their hearing. The third way to mobilize the powers of the ages to come is through love for God. Love for God is a flame. It burns like fire. When you find men who genuinely love God, they are men that God can't hold back himself for. He came to Peter in John chapter 21 from verse 15. He said, lovest thou me more than this? I want to give you an authority over the apostolic clan, but I'm not going to do that because you were close to me. I'm not going to give you that authority because you are intelligent or you know the Bible or you are aggressive. Lovest thou me more than this? And Peter said, Lord, you know. He asked him again, lovest thou me more than this? 3 times. No wonder the Bible said in 1 Corinthians 16:22, if you love not the Lord Christ, he said, you are anathema, maranatha. David knew the secret. In Psalm 63 from verse 1 and 2, he said, as the deer panted after the waters, he said, so my soul longeth after you in a dry and in a thirsty land where no water is. There is a passion for God that must be preserved in your spirit for you to see the true power of God. The true power of God does not operate only on revelation. He rests on passion for God. Did you not read about Jesus? John 2:17. He said, the zeal of my Father's house, it consumes me. There is a passion it cannot tame. When you enter that level of passion, then you become a seeker of the realms of God. See, there are two kinds of people praying. One man is praying to receive from God. Another man is praying to find God. He's not seeking God because God is lost. He's seeking God because he knows that God is an everlasting reality. And so the Bible said in Matthew 7 from verse 7 to 9, he said, ask, you will receive. He said, seek, you will find. He said, knock, the door will be open. Those who ask are those who have heard of the mighty things God has done. And they are chronicling those things and seeking those things to play out in their own life. And so I can ask for the secret of the anointing. I can ask for the secret of healing. I can ask for the secret of utterance. I can ask for the secret of principles and of favor. I can ask for the secret of wisdom. But when I'm done with the dimensions that men have explored, and what I'm looking for is not the things God has to offer, I will leave the realm of asking. I will now enter the realm of seeking. The realm of seeking is the realm that seeks to find virgin dimensions in God. I know Enoch walked with you and was not. Is that all there is about you? I know Abraham was rich and was blessed in all things. Is that all there is about you? I know Moses brought down a nation. Is that all there is about you? So you find such men praying. When you come close to them, they don't have a prayer point. They are digging into God. They want to come to the place where no mortal has come before. Because all they are looking for is an intimacy that a man will secure with God, that will make God become his possession. When a generation rises that loves God that much, that we are not praying for an anointing, we are not praying for fame, we are not praying for visibility, we are not praying for open doors, and we are praying for more of God. Ah, a friend of mine that was carried to heaven, he sat with Jesus and he asked him, what is it that you want? That men have looked for aeons. And Jesus told him, I want men to seek me. That's all I want. The things we receive, they are actually things littered in the path of seeking. An anointing is not a gift of God. But when you seek God, there's a place you will get to in God that you will touch an anointing. Because it is in that realm. Wisdom, it comes from God, but it's not necessarily a gift. When you seek God, you will come to a place where wisdom dwells. And you will carry wisdom, you will still be going. But those who are pursuing God for things, when they touch power, they end their journey and they come back. When they touch wisdom, they end their journey, they come back and they start building dynasties. And when they finish building the dynasty, at the time they come to the top, they will discover what they built is not Zion, it's Babel. But they took wisdom and they went and built a dynasty. But wise men, even after wisdom came, they kept seeking. That was the story of Abraham. When Abraham came to his journey with God, he said, I am your shield. I am your exceeding great reward. It wasn't a child you were looking for. And to prove it, he told Abraham, go, take your only son, the one whom you love, and sacrifice him. Abraham took that child without consulting with Sarah. And he would have killed him. God had to stop him quickly. Because what Abraham was looking for was not a child. He started looking for a child. But a point came. He left the realm of asking. He became a seeker. And so every time Abraham stands on the altar, he's looking for that light that is without corruption. He's seeking that voice that spoke to him in the halls of the Chaldees. Get out of thy country. Get out of thy kindred. Get out of thy father's house. Come and I will show you the land. And when Abraham got to Canaan, he discovered that the land was not Canaan. The land was actually a city with foundation whose builder and maker is God. It was the new Jerusalem. And that was why when Jesus came, he said, Abraham, your father saw my day. And he rejoiced in it. Abraham saw Canaan. He discovered it wasn't Canaan. He discovered what God called him for was more glorious than Canaan. And so he began to look in the spirit again. And the point came, Abraham saw the Christos. And he didn't just see the Christos. He saw the end of time. These were the things the wise men of old sought. The Bible spoke concerning Moses that what Moses was looking for was not power. Because when Moses was come of age in Deuteronomy 34, he said, I saw the Lord descending from the mountains of Paran. I saw him come down with 10,000 of his saints. Moses was talking to us about the things that will happen when time is accomplished. Did you not read about Paul? Paul said, when this earth is over, he said, the elements of the earth will be rolled away. He said, it will melt. They had seen beyond time. Because at first, when they started, they thought it was what money can buy. They thought it was what men could give. But when they sought God, they began to see glory that was incorruptible. They began to see realities that you couldn't touch, but it lived with you. And every day they sought it. He said, I know a man many years ago. Whether he was in the body or in the flesh, I can't tell. But I know that that man was carried to the third heaven. And when the time came for Paul to die, Prophet Agabus showed up with a gift. Carried the belt. He didn't know that where he is, Paul was there many years ago. He said, the man that owns this, he will be bound. And Paul told him something that he may never understand in his prophetic ministry. He said, I go to Jerusalem bound in the spirit. I've become a seeker. I'm not looking for safety anymore. I'm not looking for protection from God. He said, for me to live is Christ. To die is gain. I have seen beyond the stars. There is something I saw that made me hazard my life. Oh, Agabus, thank God for your gift. Once upon a time, I was a gifted man. But now, I've become a burnt offering. The only thing I look for is the glory that is without corruption. This is why these men were so powerful. And Paul came to a point, he said, concerning virgins, I have no commandment from the Lord. He said, but I speak as one who is trustworthy. And the things Paul said that were not given to him by the Holy Ghost, they became scriptures. That means Paul had come to the end of his journey. He has come to where the immortal light of God dwells. And so anything Paul utters from there is as good as God talking. He found it. That's why when he was about to leave, he said, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. There remained for me a crown of life. Who told you that the crown then? How did you know? How did you know that when men come to the end of their walk, there is such a thing called a crown? How did you know? How did you know that something is beyond the honor of an apostle? How do you know that something is beyond the wisdom of an apostle? Because he went to the cabinet of the Godhead. And he knows that before creation ever was, three beings sat together. And the Father spoke to the Son. And the Son spoke to the Spirit. And the Spirit spoke to the Father. There is a council in the Spirit. And only enthroned men can enter there. And so the pursuit of Paul was no longer the honor of an apostle. The pursuit of Paul became about the crown. I have run my race. I have kept the good fight. I have come to the end of creation. And I have seen the one that dwells beyond time. Did you not read about Job? He said, I look to the ends of the earth. And I know that my Redeemer liveth. That's why even though he was plagued with sore, the wife came and said, insult God and die. He said, why do you speak like the foolish women? Do you not know that there is something more precious than health? Do you not know that there is something more precious than life? There is a place where immortals dwell. I have come there. This is why when the devil came, he said, the sons of God came to seek God. And he said, even Satan came there. Job knows there. And because he has gone there, nothing in time appears to be him anymore. Where are the seekers of this generation? Anointings are byproducts. Wisdom is byproduct. There is something that is priceless. It's the life of the immortal one himself. And he's looking for men who can journey beyond the threshold. I know somebody stopped where anointings are. I know somebody stopped where wisdom is. I know somebody stopped where favor is. But there is a place where you know him as you are known. There's a place where he no longer hides his face. There's a place where men don't talk. There's a place where it is spirit to spirit. He said, we all with open faces, beholding as in a glass, the image of the Lord. He said, we are changed. I don't know what you pursue, but when you can journey this far, the power of the ages to come can be committed to you. Because at that time, you are not seeking to build an empire. At that time, you are not seeking honor. At that time, self-preservation is not your goal. You are looking for how the foundations of the heavens can be instituted on the earth. And that was when John came to. They tried to kill him. Church history told us they threw him into boiling oil. They dragged him on the street. He couldn't die. And when they cast him to the Isle of Patmos, he said, I was in the spirit on the last day. I was in the spirit. I know another dwelling place. I was in the spirit on the last day. And he said, I heard a voice as of a trumpet. When he finished all of his journey in heaven, that was when he began to tell us the end of time. He said, I saw the new Jerusalem descending from heaven like jasper. He said, the foundation of that Jerusalem is the name of the 12 tribes of Israel. He said, the door of that city is the name of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And they began to pick the stones that make that city. What kind of architecture is this? They have gone to where the Creator alone dwells. So they know the wisdom upon which the foundations of the earth dwell. And if such men are given an opportunity to come into time again, they can recreate this world. Because now they have the code. Now they have the scepter. They know the secret. They can formulate the algorithm upon which the mysteries of the earth rest. The earth is not standing on the rock. The foundation of the earth is not a stone. The foundation of the earth are the mysteries that are embedded in the word of God. And the men that have journeyed in God deep enough, those oracles are revealed to them. They are the crystals of eternity. I came to invite you to a place. Because when you come there, power will become a byproduct. And at that time, you will not use power for your gratification anymore. You will become a co-architect with God. Your job will be to build the new Jerusalem. Because when the new Jerusalem is built, the blocks are not from cement. They are men. Men that have been chiseled. That's why I said, you are the tabernacle of God. He said, you are a precious stone. You are a tried stone. You have become part of that city. And when the wall of that city glisters, it is the glory of God that you carry that will show out of that wall. A generation must rise. There are no things that are beyond the wisdom of men. Sensuality is about to eat up the heritage of our generation. But there are men that will rise up and say, Lord, I seek you alone. You know, when the fathers of old prayed like that, corruption came into the body of Christ and they brought a strange doctrine. They said, the father said, we want Jesus alone. And they removed Jesus and added prosperity. That was when the power of the ages left. The fathers of old, they said, give us Christ and take the world. And when they received Christ, the world was added as an addition. But our generation said, no, give us Christ and the world. That's why our cities are not Zion, they are Babylon. Because Babylon is mixture. We mix Christ and we mix the world. But another Puritan order will rise. Men that are tried in the flames of fire. Men that the coals of eternity have touched their tongue. And for them to live is Christ. To die is gain. Their testimony will be, if I perish, I perish. When will that generation rise? The voices of such men must be heard. If the foundation of our nations will be reconstructed. The men that can create a highway for the Lord, they know this journey. That was why John, the Bible said, he was in the wilderness until the day of his showing forth. Because he came to create a highway. And to create a highway, you will step on the toes of the Sanhedrin. You will step on the toes of the governors. You will step on the toes of gullible men that seek praise. Sycophants that align with manipulation. A Puritan breed must rise. You want to ask God tonight? I don't know where you are in your walk with God. But before I sound the shofar tonight, I give you an opportunity to make your way right with Christ. Some of us have pursued things, and Jesus is far from the borders of our habitation. Just in case you want to call upon the name of the Lord tonight and say, Lord, become the Lord. In the next 5 minutes, you have the liberty to come and hold the horns of the altar.
Aliyah. Aliyah.
You want to call Jesus your Lord? You are the only one I live for. I have lived for my appetite. I am part of the problem. But tonight, I surrender. It's your hour. And you can't come ask. I'm around while you call.
were blessed by this message you just listened to and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info.ejmi.ng@gmail.com or visit us on our website at www.encounterjesus.cc to enable us to reach you and afford us the privilege of discipling you. God bless you.